I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Article suggests that Caleb told his dad Bears coaches weren't teaching him what to watch on film. Y'all, it's the league, bruh. Coaches don't tuck you in bed at night and say, all right, little Timmy, you need to watch the Lions play. All right, little Timmy, you got to watch the Vikings. It's the league, bro.
That was Emmanuel Acho reacting to the story last week from Seth Wickersham about Carl Williams and Caleb Williams. Carl talking about the struggles that his son Caleb had gone through. The Bears, by the way, have an OTA this week. So we are watching to see if they make Caleb Williams available when the team has a media session. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score. We are joining you not just talking about football, but also talking about that story in particular. Kurt Warner, who's normally on during the football season with the afternoon show, Spiegel and Holmes, was on with him again yesterday to talk about that very thing. How much of it was Caleb Williams in that story on his own because of a lack of coaching watching film, or was he watching film on his own because he needed to show more incentive? And that's an aspect of this. It's still being discussed.
I think he definitely needed to do more, and I don't know if he felt mentally beaten down working with the likes of Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus to where he felt like he couldn't get help, and it was all on him because, number one, and Lawrence Holmes brought this up yesterday, asking for help can be a hard thing to do.
Absolutely.
Especially for men, and especially for men of a certain age who just have not had to ask for as much help as some other people have. This guy's been a star athlete his entire life. Everything's been catered to him. And I think when you talk about Kurt Warner and the way he sees things, let's remember Kurt Warner's background before we hear what he has to say and understand this is a guy who made his way up through the Arena League. He was stocking groceries at one point before becoming a Hall of Famer, an MVP, a Super Bowl champion.
I think the question that Emmanuel asks somewhat stylistically, and that Kurt Warner ended up asking or talking about yesterday to the afternoon show, and that we have asked, is if you need help like that, who's your guy? Who's your next person that you can talk to if it's not your OC? How much can you succeed in spite of that person? If you're watching film and you don't know what to watch, I'm also asking the question, what happened at USC? Because Lincoln Riley, especially if you're going to follow him from Oklahoma to USC, how much of that is on him to also help you understand the concept of going over film? Because when I covered OU and Bob Stoops was the head coach there, that was something that was discussed. Like, you knew that they watched film, but I know a lot of it was perhaps in retrospect to go over the previous game. I don't know how much of it was in preview to go over their game plan other than just running plays that they knew they needed to run. That was something you do in practice. But either way, process and procedure was discussed. At USC, you would think it would have been as well. So how much of it is on QB1? How much of it was on Bears coaching? Kurt Warner offered this thought yesterday.
I would like to think that, you know, if you're 21, 22, 23, and you're stepping into the NFL, that you're an adult too. And, you know, you're willing to say, you know, and ask for help in areas that you're not getting help. Like, I can't believe, you know, if Caleb were to go into a coach and say, hey, coach, I need help watching film. Kind of take me through a process. Like, this is what I'm watching. I'm not sure if it's the right thing. Take me through that. I can't believe the coach would say, I don't have time for that. And then just go, you're going to have to do it on your own. Like, that just seems really odd. Now, if that happens, that is, you know, I mean, that's terrible for a coaching staff if you're going to do something like that. So I don't know the answer to that question. I just have to believe that they assumed he was good. And so they went and did the normal stuff that they do. And then that never got figured out. But I mean, it makes sense, of course. Like, it makes sense to check every box and have everything laid out and, you know, go through every question you may have. But a lot of it, I kind of assume you already figured out during the process. Like, if you know, if I was, you know, going to draft somebody number one overall, I'm putting them up on a board. I'm talking to them. I'm getting a sense that they understand the game of football and they understand what they're looking at. And so I think part of that, when you decide to draft somebody number one overall, is you've probably seen enough to say, man, this guy knows what he's talking about. Like, this guy knows football. And so you kind of assume, because he knows all this and he had great success in college, well, he must know how to watch film. Like, he must be doing it and it's working for him and he's really smart. So why do we think that we have to take him through that? Because we're kind of just assuming that's the case. And so that makes 100% sense to me as well. And I think that's what a lot of coaches do, is they feel so comfortable with a guy that they're like, oh gosh, this guy knows, this guy's good, you know, and if he needs something, he'll ask us, but we're comfortable with where he's at.
Kurt Warner on the process of a quarterback and a head coach getting assimilated really to each other. And it was striking what he said. And I agree with him by and large. I just think the organizational dysfunction, specifically with the coaching staff, was at a level where I can completely understand why Caleb Williams felt the way he felt.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that completely. But I also know that some of that is on you.
Yeah.
And when you see things that aren't working, and the Bears have all told us separately in so many words that there were warning signs. We had red flags. And the scarier part was that very little was done until the firing of Shane Waldron to address them. You don't have to fire somebody in order to make change. In this case, it was warranted. But one of the first things that I noticed that Ben Johnson always says was talking about how, I want you to see the game the way I do. Now, that's a directive and an understanding that already lays out a mission statement and some sort of pathway to action. That's not something that was done previously. I had often said on the record that I wanted the head football coach of the team to talk about the offense as much as he talks about the defense, and that just didn't happen. So then, therefore, that goes to your OC. Well, if your OC doesn't even have a first 15 scripted plays, what are you guys doing there? Just rolling your helmet out for the first three plays? Like, what's going on?
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not
further to your point, Layla, that's why I wanted the head coach of the Chicago Bears. This goes back, predates Caleb Williams. This goes back to when they made a decision that Matt Nagy was no longer going to be the head coach. I was like, better be an offensive-minded head coach. He better be an offensive-minded head coach. Because one way you guarantee that the head coach talks about offense just as much as the defense, if not more, is by hiring an offensive head coach.
It's not a guarantee. Like, there are other defensive head coaches who center their whole ethos around the offense, and then they try to mess it up. Like, that is a way you can look at this. I always say to you know, the art of war, you better know what your opponent is doing. You better know how to speak the language of your opponent. So,
yes,
I get that side of it.
No, I understand that part. I think
like, you just didn't have a direction when it came to offense. I don't know if there was a standard operating procedure there. And if there is one, I would love for somebody to tell us.
I think the hiring process of the offensive coordinator under Matt Eberflus tells us everything. It told us in the moment, and then it told us once we got Shane Waldron out here play calling what it was going to be. And quite frankly, more importantly, what it was not going to be.
And I do think that there's pressure on the quarterback, and in this case, on Caleb Williams, to be the calm one, to be what is perceived as a leader, and say, I got this. If you don't got it, which unfortunately the tape showed at times, especially during the latter part of the season, then whose responsibility was it to help you get it?
Here's my overarching point on this whole matter going forward and really going back to the past, is mentorship is a thing. And everybody I know that's been successful in whatever field they're in, and specifically in sports as well, has mentors outside of the people they work with every day. They have people, coaches, older players, however you want to call it, who, before they got to the college level, in high school, they had guys. They went to camps. They met people who helped them with their game. Before they got to the pros, they had people in college helping. All these camps that Caleb went through the course of his life, all the connections he has as a Heisman Trophy winner, it's hard for me to believe there wasn't somebody besides his dad. I'm not saying he shouldn't talk to his dad, because he absolutely should. I'm glad that Carl Williams is as involved in Caleb's life as he is. But you've got to have people who have been through the fire who can help you understand how to get through the fire.
Well, and unfortunately, the one that we know per Carl that Caleb Williams aligned with the most was an opposing coach in the division, and Kevin O'Connell makes that embrace at the end of their game where they're talking for a bit of time, you know, more than normal after the end of a game, make a little more sense too. The amount of moments where I've thought about something differently now in light of the article that came out last week is many, but that's one of them. So, okay, you know that KOC is out, then who are you going to? And that's why, you know, Emmanuel ought to say it the way he said it, but he was right. Like, do you need to call a guy like Tom Brady? Do you need, you're the 1-1. Do you need to call a guy like Peyton Manning, since you already were consulting with Archie on the side?
Well, you can't call Tom Brady because he works for another organization. That's tampering.
When did that stop Tom Brady?
Well, I'm just trying to see this through Caleb's lens.
Tom Brady called Ben Johnson. But yeah, I feel you. But there's a plethora of people, especially if you're already talking to the Manning brothers or the Manning family, as that was reported in the story.
Now, there's nothing stopping him from talking to Eli or Peyton. Or Archie, or Arch for that matter. And talk to somebody last name Peyton.
But I appreciate Kurt Warner giving his perspective on this too. Different era, but still valid when it comes to quarterbacks who will tell you about the process and understanding it.
And in summary, look, Ben Johnson's at the helm now. He's as you said, it was a mission statement. I want him to see the field and see the game the way I see it. Talking about Caleb Williams, that is what's going to happen. We'll see how well that vision comes through going from one, the head coach, to the player and back again, because it's got to be a two-way street.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.